Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Busier week now as we are moving through the first month of the year and more companies coming out with news. We've had a lot more company interviews and a few more market moves for us to talk about here as the bullish scenario for markets, I think, is being brought a little bit more into question as we did have some weakness this week. But look, the market's recovering a little bit at the end of the week. And overall, we're still seeing a lot of sectors trading hand in hand with each other. We'll get to all these topics as well as have a bigger picture discussion on what a recession looks like and if we are in a recession at the tail end of this show. We're kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. That is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail and individual side, Rick writes in the No Trader as well as 7-Eleven, where he picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. And Rick, as we were chatting with you last month, you took us through just how much that 7-Eleven report beat the S&P. Let's start off with U.S. equity markets. As I mentioned, there were a couple weak days today for the U.S. markets. They are recovering a little bit at the end of the week. But if you go back and look at the levels that markets are trading at, the S&P trading at levels that we first saw back in May, June of last year, from that point, it's just been choppy, kind of sideways movement, still seems to be a downward bias. Rick, what's your thought? Has this U.S. market run its course?
Well, Corey, thanks for having me, and Shad, always a pleasure. Has it run its course? Well, we're still in a down market. I look at it that way. Certainly, we've had a bounce off of the October lows. But the rally continues to fail. Everybody sees this, that the downtrend line from all-time highs continues to be the lid on every rally. And until we break that, I look at this as generally a downward market. If it breaks, if prices break above kind of the, 4,005 level, something like that is where that line is, you certainly could see a further push higher. It doesn't mean the whole market is going to recover and we're going back up to 4,500 and all-time highs the way a lot of the perma bulls think we are, but it certainly could continue to give a near-term lift. And, I came into the year with a tactical bullish scenario, but a larger overall strategic bear scenario, because I still don't think that the major issues that are at hand for stocks is fully priced in. And I think you get bulls who will constantly say everything's priced in. And, all this news about Russia and the recession and higher interest rates, we all know it's all priced in. I don't think it's priced in at all, or better said, that it's already priced in. Yes, we all know that, but when you see the markets react the way they do at times, falling as quickly as they can, it shows me that it's not all priced in. When the market stalled last week at 4,000 in the beginning of this week and we tail off right away, it shows you it's not fully priced in. And certainly on the retail side, there's no way that the average individual investor has sold all the stock they're going to based on the headlines. So I think, as is often the case, perma bulls have what we call from behavioral finance theory, confirmation bias. They look for news that supports their view on why the market will go up They basically exclude reasons that are right in front of them that the market may go down. And right now, I'll say that I'm still, I don't know, maybe mildly a little bit tactically bullish, but I'm more in the camp that we could very well continue through the first quarter, not breaking or materially breaking out above that downtrend line, which, again, is just above where we're trading. And even if we do, not having a substantial rally, as well as not going down and taking out the lows from October. So I think it's actually going to be a tough start to the year for a lot of equity traders, even evidenced by the fact that we moved up like we did since January 1st. And then in a couple of days this week, gave back a fair amount of those gains. The markets react very quickly to news now, and in a very short amount of trading time can both gain and lose whatever they've made recently. So I kind of look for choppy trading, and trend followers are probably going to be disappointed because just as they feel like they have enough evidence that a new trend has started, it's going to end and turn around the other way. So I look for choppy markets. The VIX is near 20. You know, it's on the low end of the range. We got into the 18 handle at one point a few days back. I'm not saying that the marketplace is complacent, but the fact that option sellers are looking for far less now to write options than they had months ago does suggest that there's less fear out there. Do I think the Fed's close to being done? I don't. I see the chance for a further inversion of the yield curve this year, too. And I think that'll be the key thing to watch is really you, whether you look at 2s to 10s or 3 months to 10s, watching the spread is probably going to be the best indication of what the marketplace is really looking at going forward.
Well, Rick, you bring up an interesting point about the not really complacent, but yet still somewhat complacent. When you look at the VIX, when you look at the option spread, when you look at the behavior being kind of choppy and really not making a lot of advances or declines over the last little while, it seems like any rallies that we've had really over the last year have been faded. But there was a definite downtrend in 2022, and we've kind of seen a nice lift over the last, let's say, couple months in most sectors. But is it possible that people that are perma bullish or perma bearish for that matter may be disappointed and we may just stay in a choppy market where there is no real trend or direction until something later in the year shifts, maybe after the central banks have finished the tightening cycle and get into that pause mode? And is there any big drivers fundamentally macro that you see getting us out of these choppy waters?
Well, I think there could be right now. Things are fairly status quo. Let's say the Republicans and Democrats foolishly don't come to terms on the debt ceiling, which would be hard to think that that would actually be the case when it comes down to it. But let's say they dig their heels in and can't come to terms. That's a big issue. If something happens geopolitically between US and China, that is unforeseen now, that can change the game. If something happens, either that Putin does something in the Ukraine war that's beyond the scope of what he's done so far, that could change the game. If something hadn't happened to Putin's health where he has to step back, that could change the game. So there are a lot of macro fundamentals at hand, and we're not even talking about the Fed at this point, that could disrupt the bigger game in either direction that's not built in and is very difficult to build into how people will view the market going forward. Given what we know, let's say just given the news as we know it now, I expect that the earnings season is going to be choppy and that a lot of beats in the earnings, companies that report will be offset by misses. Such that I don't think this earnings season necessarily propels the market in either direction. Now, obviously, with price action being so close to that downtrend line near 4,000, odds favor that at some point we can pop through it. And then again, it'll come down to whether or not whatever ensuing buying comes in from that break beneath that downtrend line, is it short-term in nature? Does it last? You know, in theory, the market should fly higher if you break through. If it doesn't, and it gets a move, but it doesn't accumulate and see buyers continually come in, then that's a clue that it probably leads to ultimately what's a false breakout, and then a significant decline coming after that, similar to what we saw in the gold market when gold finally broke after, you know, seven times in the last year and a half, 2 years, that the low had been 1675 plus or minus like $5. When we finally broke several months ago, it should have cracked gold significantly. It didn't. We spent, I don't know, 5-6 weeks under that level. And then once we shot back above it, it's been off to the races on the upside. So I think that's a possibility that can happen in the stock market, that you get enough people turning bullish if we break above this downtrend line. But if prices really don't materially advance, and let's say we don't take out the August high, then you set this up for another failure later this year, which is kind of opposite in direction to what the consensus was coming into this year, which is that the stock market would have a weak first half and a strong second half. That was such a consensus call on the street coming in that I already started leaning bullish to start the year, because it's a pretty rare time when the overwhelming consensus on the street, on the macro level, is correct. And that's part of the reason I started the year off bullishly. It's just how many strategists have been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, et cetera, CNBC, Fox TV, Bloomberg TV, et cetera, as weak first half, good second half. Yeah, we've seen a decent lift. S&P held 3,800, and we've gone back to 4,000. It's only a 200-point range. It's not a big range at all. And I kind of see us somewhat stuck here for a bit.
Very interesting, Rick. It's not out of the question, I don't think, to see a bit more of a range-bound trade, especially with the Fed stepping away from the markets. But you are right. Everybody was expecting a poor start to the year for markets, and we are only 3 weeks through, but the markets have held up relatively well, but they're not exactly shooting to the moon. You did mention gold and how it could set up that pattern. Let's look at gold, because just this month, gold is still up about $100, trading right around that 1920 level. That's about a 5% move already, just in the first 3 weeks of this month. Follows through on the last 2 months of up months. Looks like it's going to be 3 months in a row of gold going up. That is after 7 months in a row of gold going down. What's your take on the gold market?
Well, that fake breakdown that happened in the fall, let's call it September through October, that set up this move. And I've been around markets long enough that I've seen this type of thing many, many times in my over 40 years on the street. And it would suggest that gold is going to test and possibly even exceed all-time highs. So I'm bullish gold. I still own the bulk of my gold. I did sell some out on that breakdown, as was kind of the right thing to do based on standard analysis. But I still have about 80% of the position I had, over the last several years. And I think gold is going higher. So I'm looking to buy pullbacks. I'm holding what I have, and I'm looking to buy pullbacks and adding to the position in gold, because that move to me, that false breakdown that took a lot of, open interest came out and the trade covered into the public and the funds selling sets up a move in the opposite direction that should minimally test the upper end of the range. So I'll say anything, kind of north of 2,000 per ounce, and potentially sets up even a bigger up move. So I do like gold, and we'll continually look for places to add.
Well, Rick, it also seemed like one of the things that aided gold when it was kind of diving down at the end of last year in the fourth quarter, same thing with silver and the mining stocks, was when we saw rates pull back and we saw the dollar keep rolling over even harder. It seemed like 2022 really was a teeter-totter year where on one side was interest rates and the dollar, and everything else was on the other side of the teeter-totter. So a lot of the algos are keyed off that. A lot of institutional funds trade off the moves in the dollar and interest rates. Do you think that was a factor in gold's move higher and then the markets move higher? And how do you see interest rates and the dollar set up for this year?
Yeah, so I think the strength in the dollar that we saw in the early part of the year was part of the heaviness that we saw in gold. And then finally, you know, the breakdown in the early fall. But that's fairly close in time to when the dollar peaked. And since then, if we use the dollar index as the proxy, let's say it's gone from 113 or so. And this week got into the 101 handle. And today it's over 102. And I'm actually, you guys get my research, you know that I'm looking for a tactical long in the dollar down here in this 102, 101 level that I've identified for a few months as the potential near-term bottom for a trade. I don't know if the dollar is going to break under 100. If it does, then that probably changes the game for everything related to the dollar for a potentially a further decline. But right now, I kind of feel like the dollar, you're talking about, last I looked, I think it's 80% or more are bearish the dollar. And I think it's become also somewhat of a one-sided trade. And I look at charts and do some analysis, and it says to me that somewhere down around here is a place we could see a bounce from. And if we had, you know, just a minor trading bounce, I don't think it interrupts gold's rally. If we get a significant bounce, then it'll help pull gold back. And I would welcome that because I do think gold's heading higher on this move. And that if you can get that $100 back that it's added this year, that'd be great. Anything, I don't know, I'd say anywhere at this point from 18 and a quarter to 1850 would be a good place to be buying for a move that'll take you over 2000.
Rick, one quick question then on the gold stocks. You mentioned how gold could be testing out all-time highs. Those all-time highs relate back to 2020, even early 2021, and then back to 2011. What about the underlying gold stocks? If we use something like GDX as a barometer for the gold stocks, that ETF that holds a lot of the miners, in its run up in 2020, it didn't reach those all-time highs. It was about 30% off of those all-time highs.
Right, not even close.
From 2011. So then how does that correlate over to something like GDX, where gold performed very well? The stocks still gave you some gains, but they didn't get to those highs.
No. And I'm not sure they will either right now, but I can make the case that GDX, which is, I don't know, 32-ish now, should on this move minimally get to 36, but I'm thinking it should test that 2020 high at 45-ish and possibly even get to 51. But I can't tell you right now that I have a reason to see it get above 65, which is the all-time high back in, I think, 2011 or so.
Well, Rick, while we're on the topic of commodities, I would like to get your thoughts on energy, because I know it's one of the main components of your 7-Eleven report that you look at, either weighting higher or lower. And energy was a big theme last year. It's still a big thing today. What's your take on oil and nat gas and the energy stocks?
So oil, I'm friendly towards. As I said recently to a portfolio strategist, I may not know the next $10, but if I had to guess the next 20, 30, 40, and 50, it's to the upside. So I am bullish oil. What is the tougher one here is the complete decimation of natural gas, which has just gotten crushed. And that's been, I guess, let's call that a beneficial windfall to European consumers who have been dealing with very high natural gas prices. But the combination of stockpiling that took place in Europe and a warmer winter there. And certainly here, you know, I live in New York, and it's about 40, 45 degrees today, which for mid-January is a pretty mild day. We haven't had a single snowfall yet that I've had to take the shovel. So maybe we had an inch, you know, like a dusting, but we've yet to have a major snowfall. It's still somewhat here in the Northeast, a mild winter, and natural gas has just completely gotten demolished. So I didn't think it actually cost me some money, because I thought gas would kind of hold around the $4.25 level for, you know, nat gas futures. It didn't. And, you know, it cost me some money in that. And it's going to take some time to recover. But I would suspect, given just how much natural gas has come off, that at this point, we're probably closer to a bottom than to think that we have another major leg down. So I would start looking at some of the beaten down gas stocks for some entry points.
Rick, one other market that we should quickly touch on, the crypto space. And clearly, still a lot of bad news coming out on the crypto space. Another bankruptcy that was reported this week. But you look at the price of Bitcoin, Bitcoin's over 21,000 right now. As we're recording this, I guess we can tie that back into U.S. markets. And even the VIX being under 20 is investors willing to take on a little more risk, being a little more optimistic, and interest rates moving lower. But Rick, where can Bitcoin go from here? And what is it telling you about the overall investor mentality?
Well, overall investor mentality and Bitcoin don't go in the same sentence, in the sense to me that Bitcoin is as speculative an item as you can find. All crypto is. Now, is it exploitable? Can you make money trading it? Yes. Do I necessarily believe in the whole concept of Bitcoin's going to 100,000, 500,000, like some bulls say? No, I can't make any reason for that. But here's what I can at least tell you short term. The week that the FTX news came out, the high that week in futures, front month Bitcoin futures, was about 21,200. We're now near 21,500. So not only are we above the price of when that news came out, but that week's low was also the lowest low of the whole move. So all subsequent weeks to that had slightly higher lows until, you know, a week ago when we really broke out to the upside. So if I'm looking at this as a pure market, a futures market that has open interest, which means you have longs and shorts, and you know, when the market moves up, the shorts are losing, and when the market moves down, the longs are losing. Right now, this is set up to move higher because of all the positions that, if you look at open interest, and this is the important part here, open interest has actually moved up significantly the week of that FTX news. And even though we're beneath that now, that means a whole bunch of new shorts came in. It also means new longs came in, but there's a long for every short in the futures market. So You've got people, shorts, who have not made any money and are now starting to lose. So we are currently at a price that we've not seen since, looks like, about early September or so. So that's several months of sellers who are underwater. Based upon the way I understand markets, 40 years experience, and having grown up in the commodity pits, I would say Bitcoin trades higher. You've got trapped shorts now. And I would think it trades higher. So targets would be 25,000, which was the summer high. If you exceed that, you get to about 28,000. That's where the let's call it, the breakdown really came. And in a real decent move higher, you're talking about a move to about 35,000, 36,000. So on a percentage basis, there's very decent upside here. Do I recommend Bitcoin to my clients? Generally, no. Institutional clients don't, you know, really play this game, and it's not something I included in my weekly report. I'll comment on it, but I can tell you I don't really have clients who care what Bitcoin is doing. But from a pure point of view of making money, do I think you can make money in this? Yes, I think you probably can. But I don't play it for the whole game of what Bitcoin is supposed to be worth. I don't think anybody has a handle on it at all. And the people who paid $50,000 for Bitcoin and watch you trade, you know, $15,000 or holding on for this supposed story, that's like buying $100 stock and holding it at 30 bucks and saying, well, it's supposed to be worth more, I'm going to hold. You just had terrible timing, and you know, that's a whole another, you know, fool's game as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Rick, this kind of brings up the theme that we've seen really over the last couple months of the most beat up sectors getting the biggest lift, which is not uncommon in a bear market to see the bear market rallies be pretty epic. So whether it's the crypto space or the tech growth stocks, the Cathie Wood ARK Innovation Fund has had some record months up. We saw Tesla raging higher as maybe the ultimate meme stock of all time. We've seen a lot of those sectors that were really beat up in the growth area get that lift, and people have been less interested in the value space. Really, last year was the shift from growth to value from years before. Do you anticipate that theme continuing, or is this just a bear market rally where some of the things hit the hardest, bounce the most?
I think it's a combination, Chad, because yes, we've seen this year come, you know, start out of the blocks inverting what happened yet last year. And as you say, that makes sense. If people are going to come back in, they're going to buy the most beaten down stocks. I think the question that people need to ask themselves is this a lasting rally? Is this the beginning phase of a bigger bull market, or is this just another rally in the bear market? And what wouldn't surprise me at all is if the market moves up enough to break above the downtrend line to get enough new bulls in, only to see news come out later in the year that is not nearly as positive as they had hoped, or the Fed not pivoting as they hope. And I don't think the Fed pivots this year. They may stop raising rates, but I don't think the Fed's remotely close to even thinking that they would lower rates anytime soon. So you could get this move back into the market that potentially still traps newer buyers. Maybe buying here isn't the worst thing, but if the S&P got to 4,200, 4,300, would I want to be buying there? No, not at all. I'd still be looking to reduce longer term exposure. There is a significant different appearance to how the structure of the market is now than to any other sell-off that we've had since the 2009 lows. And so the recovery from March 09 all the way into January 2022's high, the sell-off that we've seen since then, and I'm not talking about the percent of sell-off, but how the sell-off was made and the structure of the market is such that I think this is still a potentially dangerous outlook going forward. And I'm in the camp, and I do it personally. You know, I significantly lightened exposure last year. I put some back on. Luckily, I got some names very close to their lows. I mean, personally, I bought Meta the day it made the low last year, and it's the first time I had bought, it's only the second time I bought Meta in since it went public, and the first time in years. And I was actually fortunate to get it under the price of $89, and below this year was 88 and change. Last year was 88 and change. So I mean, there are some names I've bottom fished for that I'm doing okay on, but I am kind of rotating also out of other names that I think are just not headed back to highs, and will use strength to reduce exposure.
All right, Rick, we'll wrap it up here. Always great chatting with you. And I always find it interesting, especially early on in the year, to bring someone like you on who plays both sides of the market, is not biased towards any side, and quite frankly, is just looking at the trends and the way that people react to some of these moves. It does sound like this year is setting up to be a fair bit different than last year, but not necessarily that outwardly bullish call. But hey, there are some sectors that clearly have started to do a little bit better, and then some of the ones that sold off the most, they're also getting some money coming in. We'll see how long these current runs last and what the next big, if there is a big move coming this year. Rick, thank you as always for your time. We really appreciate it. We'll chat with you next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.